Our Country, the Marvel of Nations. Chapter 4, The Hand of Providence. Our country's progress, even under so brief a survey as that contained in the preceding chapters, must strike everyone as a marvel of national growth. And when we take into consideration the convictions expressed by some of the eminent authors from whom we have quoted, that the hand of Providence has been more conspicuous in the development of this nation than in that of any other, it is calculated to intensify greatly our interest in the subject, and hasten us on to an investigation of the query whether this nation is not mentioned in that prophetic word which has outlined the great epochs of human history, pointed out the nations, and in some instances, the individuals, which were to act a part therein, and described the movements they would make. Certainly, if the hand of Providence has been so conspicuously present in our history, as some of the writers already referred to affirm, we could hardly do less than look for some mention of this government in that book which makes it a special purpose to record the workings of that providence among mankind. What, then, are the probabilities in the matter? On what conditions might we expect to find mention of it? If the same conditions exist here as those which have made other nations subjects of prophecy, should we not expect to find mention of this also? On what conditions, then, have other nations found a place on the prophetic record? The answer is that it is on these conditions, namely, first, if they have acted any prominent part in the world's history, and secondly, and above all, if they have had jurisdiction over the people of God, or, in other words, have maintained such relations with them that the history of the people of God could not be written without mention of the nation with which they were connected. By comparing the prophecies and records of the Bible with the records of secular history, we find data from which to deduce the rule here given respecting the prophetic mention of earthly governments. And, as it is a very important one, the reader will permit us to state it again. Whenever the relation of God's people to any nation is such that a true history of his people, which is the leading object of revelation, could not be given without a notice of the people, such nation is mentioned in prophecy. And all these conditions are certainly fulfilled in our government. As regards the first, no nation has ever attracted more attention, excited more profound wonder, or given promise of greater eminence or influence among the nations of the earth. And as touching the second, certainly here, if anywhere on the globe, is to be found a strong array of Christians, such as are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, whose history could not be written without mention of that government under which they live and enjoy their liberty. A series of symbols examined. With these probabilities in favor of the proposition that this government should be a subject of prophecy, let us now take a brief survey of those symbols found in the Word of God which represent earthly governments. These are found chiefly, if not entirely, in the books of Daniel and the Revelation. In Daniel 2, a symbol is introduced in the form of a great image consisting of four parts: symbol gold, silver, brass, and iron. This image is finally dashed to atoms, and a great mountain, taking its place, fills the whole earth and remains forever. In Daniel 7, the prophet records a vision in which he was shown a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a great and terrible nondescript beast, which, after passing through a new and remarkable phase, is cast into a lake of fire and utterly perishes. In Daniel 8, mention is made of a ram, a he-goat, and a horn, little at first, but waxing exceeding great, which is finally broken without hand, verse 25. In Revelation 9, we have a description of locusts like unto horses. In Revelation 12, we have a great red dragon. In Revelation 13, a blasphemous leopard beast is brought to view, and another beast with two horns like a lamb. In Revelation 17, John gives us a graphic pen picture of a scarlet-colored beast upon which a woman sits, holding in her hand a golden cup full of filthiness and abomination. What governments and what powers are represented by all these symbols? Do any of them symbolize our own government? Some of them certainly represent earthly kingdoms, for so the prophecies themselves expressly inform us. 1. Thus, interpreting the different divisions of the great image, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, "Thou art this head of gold." Daniel 2, verse 38. The remaining parts, silver, brass, iron, are called three succeeding kingdoms. Verses 39, 40. In Daniel 8, verse 20, 21, the ram is called Media and Persia, the rough goat, Grisha, and the notable horn, her first king. Thus are we established in the line of interpretation and guided in the application. And in the application of nearly all of them, there is quite a uniform agreement among expositors. The four parts of the great image of Daniel 2 represent four kingdoms. They symbolize, respectively, ancient Babylon, or Chaldea, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. The lion of the seventh chapter also represents Babylon, the bear, Medo-Persia, the leopard, Grecia, and the great and terrible beast, Rome. The horn with human eyes and mouth, which appears in the second phase of this beast, represents the papacy and covers its history down to the time when it was temporarily overthrown by the French in 1798. In Daniel 8, likewise, the ram represents Medo-Persia, the he-goat, Grecia, and the little horn, Rome. All these have a very clear and definite application to the governments named. None of them thus far can have any reference to the United States. The symbols brought to view in Revelation 9, all commentators concur in applying to the Saracens and Turks. The dragon of Revelation 12 is the acknowledged symbol of pagan Rome. The leopard beast of Revelation 13 can be shown to be identical with the 11th horn of the fourth beast of Daniel 7, and hence to symbolize the papacy. The scarlet beast and the woman of Revelation 17 as evidently apply also to Rome under papal rule, the symbols having a special reference to the distinction between the civil power and the ecclesiastical, the civil being represented by the beast, the ecclesiastical by the woman seated thereon. There is one symbol left, last but not least, the youngest of the family, that vigorous and sprightly fellow with two horns like a lamb, brought to view in Revelation 13, verse 11 to 17. What nation does that symbolize? On this there is more difference of opinion. Let us, therefore, before seeking for an application, look at the time and territory covered by those already examined. Babylon and Medo-Persia covered all the civilized portion of Asia in ancient times. Greece covered Eastern Europe, including Russia. Rome, with the 10 kingdoms into which it was divided before the end of the 5th century AD, as represented by the 10 toes of the image, the 10 horns of the fourth beast of Daniel 7, the 10 horns of the dragon of Revelation 12, and the 10 horns of the leopard beast of Revelation 13 and Daniel 7, verse 24, covered all Western Europe. In other words, all the civilized portions of the Eastern Hemisphere are absorbed and appropriated by the symbols already examined. But there is a mighty nation in this Western Hemisphere, worthy, as we have seen, of being mentioned in prophecy, which is not yet brought in. And there is one symbol remaining on the prophetic page, the application of which has not yet been made. All the symbols but one are applied, and all the available portions of the earth, with the exception of our own land, are covered by the nations which these symbols represent. Of all the symbols mentioned, one alone, the two-horned beast of Revelation 13, is left. And of all the countries of the earth, respecting which any reason exists why they should be mentioned in the prophecy at all, one alone, our own government, remains. Do the two-horned symbol and the United States belong together? If they do, then all the symbols find an application, and all the ground is covered. If they do not, it follows, first, that the United States is not represented in prophecy by any of the national symbols, as, for the reasons already stated, we should expect it would be, and secondly, that the two-horned symbol of Revelation 13, verse 11 to 17, finds no government to which it can apply. But the first of these suppositions is not probable, and the second is not possible.